Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You've reached your host for the show. Welcome to the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction Blog Talk Radio. Today is very, very exciting and very dear to me that we have a host of individuals that are going to be on the show for the next 45 minutes of our segment. However, unfortunately, we are having some technical difficulties with the switchboard, and so what I want to do is to emphasize that the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act is an opportunity for companies, businesses, individuals all together to come out of the recession that we're in. And that the NCWCC Blog Talk Radio Show has been airing each Wednesday since 2015. 2008, and some of these shows have been very informative. Some have been just a news segment that we would like the individuals to go back and listen to some of the news blogs that are available and are pertinent to the industry in which we are involved in. And then the other part of it is that there's community services that we reach out and do as a coalition, and we make those opportunities for individuals affordable to get information. And one of the things that that's been going on in the just in the country is that the information regarding the American Recovery Act reinvestment has not been made by the time it gets to the level of homeowners associations and things of that nature. A lot of it becomes disseminated. And in fact, what happens is that homeowners associations and groups and block watch committees and clubs like that are not privileged to get the information that they need in order to react and maintain the ability of their communities. And we know that in this existing moment in America, even a year ago, only a few people were calling for a green energy economy that could fight poverty and pollution at the same time. But today, the vision of guiding some of the most ambitious and most exciting federal policies and investments we've seen in generations, all of America can see the promise and the potential of the green economy. And our communities are very, 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 very important that the information gets afforded back to the communities in every way. But today, the vision for all America is that we can see the promise and the potential of a recovering economy. And to do so, one of the things that we have tried desperately to do, because we're in desperate situations and desperate times at this stage, to just springboard into the new economy that's been created. For the show today, one of the most crucial things is that information being followed up with to the people that the American Recovery Act was supposed to and is supposed to help has to be brought to light to individuals that have the ability to respond to the industry. We have been desperately, and I'm going to use that word constantly through the show, that in desperate times there should be desperate measures. And we have committed ourselves as a coalition of women involved in the industry from every walk of life to turn the promise into reality, that for everyday Americans, that the ideals and dreams to have quality jobs, cleaner and healthier neighborhoods, and to reduce energy and needs and expenses for American homes and businesses, that we are the one of the very, very small but very few of women organizations that who manifest opportunities for the communities to take a part in restarting this investment of the $41 billion that's been allocated for clean energy and energy efficiency for projects. And those projects are supposed to create jobs and wealth in the process. And we are the only ones who can guarantee that low-income communities and communities of color will share the jobs and the wealth of the green producing economy. And again, we are really struggling right now to get back our technical switchboard. It is pretty much in a of days here. One of the things that I want to do is continue to talk through the first part of this show. We have a guest that's coming on in a matter of seconds to introduce opportunities to work with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And unfortunately, into this segment, some of the things that that we want to talk about, without bringing the switchboard back up right now, we won't be able to get into that. And we're hoping that we regain the momentum of the switchboard here in just a moment. And the crucial part about this whole conversation is that the communities in which we've been working with in the DeKalb County area will benefit from this particular show and bringing and recovering the communities, utilizing the green job mythology that's been put in place. We know that including what funds are available and how these funds may be used and how the cities and states and other entities can maximize the benefits of the community, it is quite crucial that each individual understand that if you don't ask, you don't get. So we want to try to outline the policy models that is in place for organizations and communities, as well as some of the outlying opportunities that are created within the maximizing the benefits of this particular movement. And I've always told people in DeKalb County that DeKalb has a very unique and very somber situation going when it comes to the communities and how the communities can benefit and maximize not just the workers but businesses and things. And so one of the individuals that's going to be on the show this afternoon is Margo Dorfman, who is the CEO of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And I wanted to let everybody know that our switchboard, by the grace of God, is coming back up. And I want to thank all the callers on the show. The first part of this segment, we wanted to welcome the new president of the Glenwood Downs Homeowners Association, Ms. Sandra Weeks. And we want to welcome caller from 615. We also want to welcome caller from 678-493, caller from 404, and individuals that are in the chat room and our online guests. We want to welcome all of you all to the show. And Ms. Weeks, thank you for pulling together your team. And the segment of this show is NCWCC is building public-private strategic alliances in this green economy. So welcome to the show, Ms. Weeks.
Thank you.
Okay. Why don't you tell our listeners before our guest comes on about your association and about who you have online with you today. We also want to welcome one of our national executive board members, several of our executive board members online. So we want to welcome you guys to the show as well. Ms. Weeks, please tell everybody around the country about your organization, about what you guys have been doing, and the people that you may have gotten in contact with that are online with us.
Okay. Yes. Hi. My name is Sandra Weeks, and as Ms. Ali stated, I was just elected as the president of our homeowners association that we are actually having, I guess, reestablished. Initially, what happened or how I became the president of the Homeowners Association is because 2 years ago, actually December the 7th, my house was vandalized, broken into, and they trashed my entire home. And from that turnout, I called the media, and the media came out and they interviewed me, and I was on the news. I was on the news. They ran that segment for twice, and once they ran the segment, 2 days later, I got a call from South Precinct, which is the police department here in DeKalb County. And their public relations person called and wanted to know exactly what could they do to help me in my situation. And what I had advised them at that time is that what I needed for them to do is I needed to, for them to come out, and we needed to have a meeting to discuss the break-ins that had been occurring in the subdivision. So from them coming out, we established a neighborhood watch program, which I became the neighborhood watch coordinator, and we elected 12 block captains. From my understanding, from what they told me at the police precinct, that no other subdivision had ever come together that quickly to organize a neighborhood watch program in less than a week's time. And that also allowed us an opportunity to be involved with the police department and have the police department come to our homes if there was a problem. From that, basically, we decided to try and establish a homeowners association program. And that was basically from information that I found out through DeKalb County, I believe it's called DeKalb One, where they had different money and different funding that is available to people who have an association. However, my organization or my subdivision, we didn't have a homeowners association. Basically, what we had is a group of people who were trying to take back the community that had meetings, and the meetings were basically are basically held in my home. We have meetings every third Thursday of the month, and during that time, someone from the police department normally comes to the meeting. So once we found out that funding, or once I found out that funding was available, but you had to have an homeowners association, at that point, with some information that Ms. Ali gave me, to steer me in the right direction, we had an emergency meeting to try and get our homeowners association reestablished because it was dissolved in 2005, where it was initially created in 1995. So that's basically where we are and how I came about as far as with my association. I believe I have Ms. Michelle Williamson on the line. She is the chairperson of the Committee Involvement Advocacy, and I also tried to get in contact with Ms. Naomi Hamilton, who is the treasurer, as well as Johnny Mayo, who is the vice president of the Homeowners Association, and Sal Caldwell. I left a message for him, who is the chairperson of our association.
Ms. Weeks, could you let our audience know the level, what tier level your not just your subdivision, but the community in which you live in. And the people that you, I just want to make everybody understand that the folks who live in this community are working people. These are folks who have jobs, government, and state positions. And so this is, but could you let everybody know what the level of what you learned regarding the area?
Yes, when I went to DeKalb County forum that they had, that was, I think it was probably about 2 months ago. It was probably about 400 of us, of people that lived in DeKalb County in that particular meeting. And from that meeting, what I found out is that there are five different tiers. There is a tier one, a tier two, a tier three, a tier four, and tier five. And how that is broken down is based on your zip code. My zip code is 30035. I live in Decatur, Georgia. The zip code 30035 was considered a tier one. Now, you have five tiers, one being the worst, five being the least worst. That included zip code 30035, 30034, 32, and I think a couple of other zip codes. That means that basically out of all of DeKalb County, the county that I live in has the worst crime rate, the worst foreclosure, the worst dropout rate, the worst poverty rate, and the worst unemployment. And that's in this particular area. And also there's I mean, we're fighting as far as what schools and what's available as far as with the schools. That's not that great as well as far as the different high schools that they have in the area.
Okay. All right. And I, you know, Ms. Weeks, the reason, I wanted to let everybody know that I forward myself personally the emails of what you guys are doing, because this is a prime example on how we're to engage our communities at this stage right now, because where we are in a desperate fight for the actual survival of our communities. And just in a little bit of time that we've been working with you, we know that you've had some experiences and ongoing experiences inside the subdivision. And then the thing of it is that I want our listeners to understand this is not a like a mom and pa type radio show. What this is just an ideal of what you need to do within your community. Because if you choose not to fight back, then things that happened in this week just yesterday will continue to happen. You have to make people accountable. And I wanted to just kind of share that with everyone. And I wanted to welcome one of our national executive board members onto the show, Joanne Colbert. She is with CSS, and she is an international coach, and as well as she is a member of the Irish Chamber of Commerce, and is from Ireland and has a very good rapport with our governor, and we want to welcome her to the show. And she also has a locksmith. We want to welcome Joanne to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Hello.
Hi there, it's Joanne.
Hi.
Ms. Weeks, is that you?
Yes. Oh.
Good. It's good to hear you. I was listening before. Okay, so, you know, we're here for the meeting this evening to talk about how we can band together. And I have to tell you, since getting involved with the coalition about 6 months ago, you know, has opened my eyes. Before that, I really was in the private sector of business for many, many years and kind of kept myself there and didn't realize how important it is to form together with groups of like-minded people, and that you can actually achieve a modicum of success and move forward with that. And I'm very excited to be a part of it. And let's open it up for some questions or where we're going to go, unless Karima tells me I have more to say.
I got a call in here from online. You have a caller from online on the show?
Okay.
I think we have Janora Bowen. Is that her? Maybe. Okay. Then we have one of our leaders, Sherry Coleman. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Hello, Ms. Ali. Joanne, Ms. Weeks.
Hello.
Ms. Bowens. And Mario is on with me.
Okay, great.
Hello,
great. Welcome to the show. Not sure where our where we are right now, but in experiencing working and pulling together this public and private strategic alliance that you've been both involved in, what is some of your some of the challenges that you've seen that have opened up your eyes, as Joanne has stated, in pulling together this collaborative that we have in building strategic alliances. From grassroots organizations like the Glenwood Downs, which again is a tier level one now area. So what have been you guys' experience and since you've been aboard and looking and working with the area?
Well, this is Joanne. I'd like to address that is. The only time you ever get a substantial change or anybody actually moves forward is there has to be some sort of pain. Human nature is that you don't like pain. Nobody likes to change. Everybody likes to stay where they are. And since I've become involved with the coalition, you know, what's happening in our economy is causing people to sit up straight, like you said earlier, find out where can I get business, how can I grow my business, and this is not my father, or in my case, this is not my mother's business anymore. These businesses are run very, very differently. The market is different. And coming from the private, moving over to the public, I see it as you have dollars that you would put into a marketing budget that you would advertise, or you would place newspaper advertisements, hire a salesperson and do that, or you can take those revenues or that money and expenses and apply them towards working collaboratively with other companies who are like-minded with you, put your attention there, band together, and go after, in a unified manner, you know, jobs to get everybody working. And I think that's so important, especially in an area where everybody is growing into. Because before, you know, it was just as a select few dealt in the public sector.
And that, with that being said, one of the things that that I was getting into was that the focus on improving the quality of life in communities, especially in low-income neighborhoods, is the main reason why projects like you were talking about, where private and public alliances become very crucial in communities in reducing a lot of things that a lot of people do not understand that will save Americans money through all sorts of services. And one of the things that we've been adamant in talking with and just kind of becoming a development arm is the fact that reducing greenhouse gas emissions. People think that's not important. But through that type of money, people with retrofitting services and all that will quickly become privileged to become laborers and create jobs within those markets so our communities can have lasting neighborhood benefits. One of the unique things about the Glenwood Downs is that it actually has a creek that runs through the subdivision, and it is actually challenged with the fact that it's been underdeveloped by the developer, and it makes a wonderful place for a park, so that neighborhoods will become more significant in understanding the tremendous opportunities there are with the natural resources that we have. And one of the things that I saw was that with the Colemans that are online, we understand that there have been human and social capital networks that have been built as a relationship that have been built with this alliances in this economy. And so our whole hope is the continued partnership that we see that's taking place on the ground here becomes very, very obvious. And that is where we are right now. I do want to apologize that our caller that I had aboard has not came online. But I do want to...
This is Margot Dorfman.
Oh, Margot, I'm sorry.
I didn't want to interrupt the what was happening, so I've been on since the appointed time.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen around the country, this is Margot Dorfman from the U.S. Women Chamber of Commerce. And Margot, please let everybody know where you are and what you do and all the hats that you wear.
Well, thank you, first of all, for the opportunity to participate. I think this is a great forum, and just our brief discussion ahead of time, I hear the great work you're doing, and I congratulate you on that and all of you who are involved. I think this is great. I am the CEO for the U.S. Women's Chamber of Commerce. We founded in 2001 in Washington, D.C., specifically to advance the economic status for women, and that is both of career professionals and women business owners. But because of the name Chamber, business owners, of course, flock to us in greater numbers. So we have about three-quarters of our members are business owners, about one-quarter are everybody else, professionals, stay-at-home moms, politicals, that type of thing. So we have about 500,000 members at this point in time. And when we started, we said, okay, what needs to be done? What changes need to happen? And what we saw was that the pay inequities in corporate America continued, even though there have been some great organizations around for decades, but still 77 cents on the dollar to men. Then the glass ceiling is an issue. Between 1997 and 2006, the number of women-owned firms grew by 42.3%, and I believe that number is because of all the women who decided they'd had enough and they wanted to start out on their own, figuring they could do better. What happened was when they left corporate America, they found a whole new set of challenges, and consequently, the rest of that statement is the revenues only grew by 4.4%. So you can see we have a great deal of work to do. We traveled the country and asked, you know, what is it that you need from us? And the very first thing was to grow a business was we need access to the larger contracts, specifically access to the federal contracts. The second thing is once we get a contract, we need access to money, so access to capital is number two. And the third thing, of course, is once we have the contract and the money, we need the people to really deliver. And so we need access to affordable benefits such as health care. So that became our mission, and the work that we do is fairly straightforward. We've built relationships with all the agencies, small business offices, and then also the House and Senate Committee as well, the small business committees. And since that time, we've been working very strongly at making sure that there is a women's procurement program available. There is a law in the books that was passed in 2000, Equity in Contracting for Women Act, but the Small Business Administration has failed to implement the program, so that's been the focus of our work, is to make sure that the SBA does go ahead and implement it. And we had to file a lawsuit in 2004, which we won, and we're currently working with this current administration to see if we can get that resolved. So that's sort of a background of what we've been doing up to this point.
And what the partnerships in which you all have pursued have been innovative strategies that can benefit people and individuals all together. And I think that we have been in a very good position to have you aboard for this segment. And I really want to thank you guys for all the research that you did, and I just want to let everybody know one of the things that was discovered by the U.S. Chamber, which I'm very proud of.
And I'm going to interrupt you because you said U.S. Chamber. There is a U.S. Chamber, but we're the U.S. Women's Chamber, and there's a big difference about who we support. The U.S. Chamber tends to support the big businesses, and we support women and small businesses.
U.S. Women's Chamber was able to discover...
Yes,
Women's Chamber was able to discover a lot of little things in quirks. And the reason why I think this is so important, you guys, is that they're doing it on the federal level. And just imagine what's happening in your areas, your neck of the woods. What's in your wallet? What's in your part of your country, the states in which you all live in? I see people from Tennessee. I see folks from Minnesota on the switchboard. I see folks from Georgia. Just imagine that you discovered, for instance, that $350 billion worth of contracts was some kind of way, I don't know, maybe it just kind of got sent to the wrong people, and, hey, nobody said a word. So, yeah, I'm being a little facetious because I really wanted to kind of expound on the fact that mostly what has been going on the national level is that a lot of women, like Margot, has been testifying before Senate committees. They have been putting together new alliances and new organizations that will help combat a lot of things that are going on, and that has been going on in the past, I don't know, was it 14 years, 10 years? Since 2000, and that we have a champion on the U.S. level for all you all that's online with us and listening. That one of the organizations that is springboarded from this is the, what's the name of the other organization that springboarded from this?
Sure, it's the National Association of Small Business Contractors.
And you let everybody know what that is.
The National Association of Small Business Contractors is a joint organization that we work with that we actually spun out strategically, so that what we found was in order for women to be able to compete at the federal level, they needed to team with some successful businesses. And when we started, there weren't too many women-owned firms that were successful at the federal level. So by spinning out this and opening the NASBC, as I'll call it, is open to men and women, all different types of small businesses, now women-owned firms have the opportunity to team with the best of the best, those that have had success. It opens up to a broader range of industries for potential teaming, and it was very strategic. Additionally, what it did was it gave me a greater level of influence. I'm shown as a vice president on this, so now when I go in to talk to, say, the agency or a prime contractor, because typically what happens, and I'm sure many of you have found this, you go out to an agency or you go to try and work with a corporation, and they'll put you to the diversity person or to the woman's person, and it's another layer between you and the key influencer that's going to be the ultimate decision maker. So by doing this, now I'm no longer going through the woman's person, even though I work with them very well and I use them. My primary contact is the director for the small business office at these agencies.
Okay. And that opens up opportunity. Again, I want to try to – we have some listeners in from the level of the grassroots. This gave, just kind of break this down, this gave opportunities like organizations like Joanne, who's online, that kind of have a very diverse background in being able to bring the public and private strategic alliances together. Joanne, can you kind of expound on what I'm trying to get to in terms of the...
I have a question, Margot. Let's just, because this is, as I said earlier, this is very new to me, going into the whole public sector, okay? And I assigned here, instead of a marketing budget, I'm going to put my budget for my company into this and expend my resources in completing forms, getting the certifications going forward. It seems almost a very daunting task, and you're not promised anything at the end. And exactly as you had said before, you go in, you talk to these people, and I feel, because I've done it myself, I'm just being yesed and hurry up and get off the phone because we have work to do. You're just really not big enough. So as a small business owner, how would you say, for example, I have a small business that is very green. How would you say to myself and to other listeners, where do we go? If we feel we're being yesed, where do we go?
Yes, you come to me.
Oh, okay.
basically, there are a couple, there's some different levels that we need to address. One is you're new into dealing with federal government. It is daunting, and it does take some time to navigate the system.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of things that can be done. First off, the U.S. Women's Chamber of Commerce has programs. One's called Government Ready that gets you the background and kind of soup to nuts. The other thing that we have ongoing are either summits. Our next national Small Business Contracting Summit is in Orlando coming up on January 26th and 27th, where it brings together some education and some of the buyers from the different agencies that you can sit down and meet with them. So it gives you the first level of meeting, and provides you with the opportunity to get an idea of where you might fit in all this, because it is confusing. And I always tell people, if you've not done this before, come to this, and you're either going to be A, overwhelmed and say, no way, I'm not doing this, or you're going to say, now I understand what I need to do to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And either way, it's a great benefit, because government contracting takes a lot of money to invest before you actually do get a contract.
Right.
So this gives you that way to see what that is. There is a resource out there also in the communities, and they're called Procurement Technical Assistance Centers, that you can go in. They're funded by the Defense Logistics Agency. They're similar to the Small Business Development Centers and the Women's
mm-hmm.
Business Development Centers, but specifically set up for federal contracting.
Okay.
So in the community, you can go to them for counseling.
Okay.
And the best website, I would say, for that is the W's, and then A, P like Paul, A, T like Tom, APTAC, and then APTAC-US.org. And that will give you a list of, you know, where to locate them, and that can also assist you in that process.
Well, may I ask you one more question, though, and forgive me if this sounds very basic, but, and what I've stumbled through, because you're dealing with government employees, okay, and usually they're, you know, government agencies, if I'm in the private sector where I've been for 20 years, I can say, hey, you know, let's go not hit the golf course, but let's go have dinner, or let's go do this. What do you do there? What's the etiquette? You know, how do you handle yourself with that when you're trying to meet a procurement officer or throw that out? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, right. It's how do you build that relationship?
Yeah.
And essentially, what I recommend is coming to events like our events. First off, I'd say let's back up. First, you need to research. You need to identify which agency are you going to do business with, because anybody who walks in and say, well, I'll do business with any of them, they're not going to take you seriously because it is an impossible thing to do that.
Uh-huh.
You need to identify your niche, which is the best agency. And the way you do that is on their websites. And actually, if you come to our website,
yeah.
Pushing you back to ours, at the National Association of Small Business Contractors, we have the Small Business Contractors Forum, and it has a lot of that information right there. But you can go to any of their websites, and there's a small business component to any agency. And when you get there, that helps you to kind of navigate the system. You want to look at their reporting, their forecast. And when you see what there is on their forecast, you will know what they're buying and kind of when. So that's how you would determine where you might have an opportunity. So once you've done your homework, then the next thing is to say, okay, you know, I realize that I'm going to be doing, I want to go after Homeland Security.
Uh-huh.
So then what you would do is you would go on their website, and they have outreach events as well. And you want to show up to their outreach events and start building those relationships. Now, you can't take them out to lunch because you can't pay them. You know,
right,
that comes off as gifting. There's a challenge. But what you can do is build the relationship by getting your face in front of them, asking good questions, being educated ahead of time. If you're not registered on CCR, which is the central database that you have to be registered on in order to do a job with the government, because that's how they pay you, and that's just ccr.gov.
I'm on there.
You're on that.
Yes,
so you're all set there. That's perfect. But for those who don't know about that, that's the first thing you're going to want to do. And so, you know, if you're asking questions about how do I register on CCR, they're not going to take you seriously, versus if you're asking questions of, you know, I see that on this base you're buying this type of product or service, and who's the contact that I should connect with? Or I even see this is the contact's name. How can you help me get there?
Okay.
And
ladies,
so,
I'm so sorry, but we are completely out of time. Our show is only scheduled for 45 minutes. But I wanted to thank you all. I hate to cut you guys off. I know that, we do the best we can here at the switchboard, but sometimes we come a little short. But, Margaret, I want to thank you for coming aboard and speaking with us and all our callers. I'm sure that I'll raffle her down maybe one more time before. I just want to thank you guys, our callers who came in and listened to the show. We appreciate you guys coming aboard. And please stay tuned to next week. We're going to have a more interesting, more advocate type of profile next week. So I want to thank you guys and close out our show with one of our members, Destiny Mahat, called Grace.
I am the voice of ancient calls. calling and the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders. I'm the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze.